Good day and welcome to this episode of If Walls Could Talk. I'm John Y, editor of Walls and Ceilings, and today joining me again is Mr. Tom Harris. He's owner of PUR Consulting. I'm pleased to have him here today. Hey, Tom.
Yeah, good morning, John.
So, listen, we've just concluded a few key industry events in this past month, notably ICAA and the Polyurethanes Technical Conference and the Western Roofing Show. Three big ones. What's hot?
Well, I think we're in the middle of something here, John.
Well, what do you mean by that?
As the song goes, there's clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, and I'm stuck in the middle with you.
Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Hopefully we don't get tagged with any copyright issues for repeating that, but I know the song well. I just saw it in a movie a couple of weeks ago. Ha. Huh? So what makes you think of those lyrics there?
Well, let's talk about the spray foam industry for a moment. And there's more manufacturers, coming out of the ICAA show. I noticed a lot more manufacturers, brands of foam selling their systems than ever before, which is a good thing. And that's creating competition and driving the contractor pricing down. And the contractors are passing that opportunity along to the end users, homeowners and builders. And that's a good thing. It's creating more volume of sales. That's a good thing. And it's demanding higher and higher insulation performance. With the building codes, more insulation. We've got R60 in attics now in the Northeast. So you'd think that'd be a good thing for contractors.
Well, it is, isn't it?
Well, I was hoping it would be, but what I'm finding is they're given all that margin that they could be keeping in order to compete with the lowest quality contractor down the road. So I think the focus is a bit wrong. We don't seem to appreciate, what we've got is the best insulation in the game compared to other insulations, and contractors can't seem to close business based on a higher product value and, their company compared to the other companies. So most sales are still based on price.
Cool. So the consumer is getting the best product at the lowest price. Isn't that what they want, though?
Well, they may not be getting that. And that's the topic of the conversation here today. Let me give you an example. We all do research on the internet before we buy products.
Right.
Yeah. So do people when they look at foam insulations. This is where it can all fall apart, quite frankly. Let's take an example here. Single component can polyurethane foam. You've seen those cans and whatnot. These are the cans of foams we can buy at the big box store or construction material suppliers or directly off the internet. And they should be used exclusively for sealing around doors, windows, or filling small holes in framing and, generally sealing up the framing. And they're pretty common these days, but these single component, I'm going to call them foam in a can, are not supposed to be used for insulation unless they've been evaluated and approved to be used as insulation. Here in North America, we differentiate. We have whole product standards and evaluation protocols for sealants, and then as different set of circumstances and tests for insulation. So what you call your product matters.
I've actually used a couple of these myself. So
yeah, me too. And these products, they're made in America by well-known American manufacturers, and they meet the U.S. construction codes, and they're based on U.S. testing and the whole certification protocol. They've all got the approvals and the documentation on their websites, which is good,
All right. So what's the issue?
Well, since spray foam insulation, the product, is such a great thing, every manufacturer wants a piece of the action because, spray foam is becoming more and more commonplace, and that's a good thing, grabbing some market share. And even offshore manufacturers, they want to get into this game as well. We've now got offshore single component sealant manufacturers calling their products insulation.
Ah.
and promoting it as insulation, and even showing on their videos of how to install it as insulation without testing it to US standards and having it certified or evaluated or even looked at by any authority here in the US. They just give the sealant a new brand name, stick a tip on the end of the dispense tube, which makes it applied in a wider pattern, and they call it insulation. And consumers, including material distributors, buy it without checking, at least it seems to, buying it without checking any of the properties or testing. For some of this stuff, you can't even get a safety data sheet from the importer of record or the manufacturer or the distributor.
So if I'm understanding you right, Tom, this isn't a smackdown on insulation companies that provide this, but those other companies, notably some sealant companies that are basically offering and branding this as a solution. So what do you suggest?
Well, I think, and I always recommend that buyers like contractors, homeowners, distributors, or anyone who specifies the product, anyone who has influence over the purchase of the chemical, because remember, it's just a chemical, must have a process, an evaluation process for these new materials. Make sure that you're buying a product which is legal to use in the U.S.
So what do you mean by that?
Okay, you know when you buy a car?
Well, we all try and do a little bit of research,
Yeah,
right?
exactly. Yeah. Anyone buying foam chemical needs to do a little research. I think you need to ask yourself first, is the product safe?
So how do I know if it is?
Well, just because you can buy it off the internet doesn't mean it's safe. I mean, all this fake news that's going around. But there's two documents you really need to focus on, and they should be available on the manufacturer's website. Go to their website and find the technical data sheet, commonly referred to as the TDS, the technical data sheet, and then the SDS, the safety data sheet. Both must be available. If you can't find both, that's a red flag. Read the technical data sheet. There's likely a few physical properties, like in insulations, we use R value as kind of a characteristic of the product. So make sure that these tests and the results that are stated on the technical data sheet and the test procedures, and they have to list the test procedures, that's the right test used in North America. The test method needs to be accepted in the US. If it's not, and a lot of these European products use what they call a DIN, D-I-N based test. That's not accepted here in the US. There's a lot of products in our industry that are being sold directly to the consumer over the internet as insulation that does not meet US evaluation and approvals.
So how can that be?
Well, apparently the consumer is expected to be the watchdog. But, in this lowest cost wins market, we only care about price. So I think we're missing something there.
Yeah, I'm tend to agree with you on that point. So wow, that's interesting. Real quick, is DIN an acronym?
Yeah, it's a German acronym. It's Deutsche Institut for Nuremberg. And that's basically in the US, we have the ASTM, American Standard Testing Methods. And in Germany, they have the same thing. It's a group of experts that develop these test protocols to evaluate products. But how they determine certain characteristics in Germany is different than what we use here in the US. So if you're going to sell a product into the US or use it, like you and I would buy something off the internet, we have to make sure that that product has been tested and evaluated according to US testing. And a lot of these new imports that are coming in to, take advantage of the rising tide of spray foam, they just don't meet that criteria yet.
So listen up, consumers, the moral of the story, buy made in America, that tried and true stamp of approval, right, Tom?
Absolutely right, John.
Awesome. So what else is going on?
Well, there's a, you know, I visited the ICAA show, and there's a couple of new polyurethane foam chemical systems houses. You know, these are the guys that make the resin and the isocyanate that the contractors use to make foam on site. And there's a couple of new manufacturers with new plants in the U.S. That's great, driving employment. And, you know, it's funny, these new companies that are coming in, they're driven by and they employ some of the, I don't want to age myself here, but some of the older, well-respected names in the industry that have been around for years. Both of them were exhibiting at the ICAA, and they're going to also be at the upcoming Spray Polyurethane Foam Alliance, the SPFA for short. They got a show, a big conference, technical and exhibit halls, and all that kind of good stuff. Their show is coming up in Daytona Beach, February 9th through the 12th. As a matter of fact, Robert Niney, a well-respected and well-known consultant in the spray foam industry, and I will be putting on an all-day seminar on the business of spray foam contracting, entitled From Technician to Entrepreneur.
That sounds pretty rock and roll. Can you give us some detail on that?
Yeah, well, I can. The cat's out of the bag now. The SPFA is now promoting our seminar, so that's a good thing. But it's going to happen Sunday, February 9th. Of course, that's Super Bowl Sunday, and Robert and I will focus on two general areas. The first is how to make money as a contractor, everything from marketing, selling, pricing of jobs, estimating, you know, cash flow, and the business of making money. And I'll focus on the other side of the coin, how to keep your money. So keep the money that you make, how to reduce callbacks, claims, problems. We'll touch on this new HFO chemistry and how to optimize the application, some of the issues you might be facing and encountering, and how to minimize them. Should be quite a day.
You know, real quick, as I was walking the show floor at the ICAA show, a lot of people had brought up this Daytona Beach show put on by the SPFA. I think that's gaining some traction, Tom. Have you noticed the growth of this event?
Yeah, you know, the last 2 or 3 years have been record-setting years coming out of COVID and whatnot, but they've been record-setting. And there's a number of new contractors coming into the industry, and they're using the SPFA shows and the contacts they make there to become better educated. And I've been in it for, you know, over 40 years now, and I really respect these new young entrepreneurs that are coming in that want to do the right thing. They're open to education and conversation. And that's a good thing. And I think it bodes well for the industry in the future as well. There's a lot of new, young, compared to me, young contractors that are taking part in the SPFA. They're board of director members. They're leading these small working committees. It's great stuff, and it really reflects well on our industry.
You know, lots of good stuff going on in the industry these days, specifically the
Yeah.
spray foam one. So, listen, Tom, as we wrap up here, any thoughts on the agenda for next month?
Well, next month's November, so we'll talk mid-November after the election. So I guess that old song still holds true, stuck in the middle with each other, and I'm sure we'll have lots to talk about.
You know, that's open for interpretation too. So we could take that a lot of different ways. Tom, it's always great to chat with you.
I appreciate it, John. Thanks very much for the opportunity.
You got it, my friend. And I believe Let's Talk PR.com is your website for more information on how to contact you, correct?
Yeah, that's the one, John. Thanks very much.
Yeah, there's no punctuation in there. So LUTSTALKPUR.com. Is that right?
That's got it, John.
Wonderful. Well, you've been listening to this episode of If Walls Could Talk. I'm John White, again joined by Mr. Tom Harris of PUR Consulting. Until next month, thanks so much for listening to us. Take care.